All right, let's turn to Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 10. Is the picture still moving around? The picture, so you can take a look at that. See what they are looking at there. If you look close enough, you can see one of the boys climbing up the chimney. And, I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but, Acts chapter 10. You'd be amazed people made buildings out of throughout history. You'd be surprised how good building materials you would think are not good building materials are, actually. And, all right, Acts chapter 10. And, let's start at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. That is not musical, that's military. A devout man, and one that feared God and all his, with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. And he saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up before as up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all those things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. I want to talk about Cornelius' salvation. Let's pray. Lord, there's some good doctrine and some good understanding here for us to see how you work and what your mind is on people. And we pray tonight that you would, again, as always, we just need you to help us understand your word, to be helped, to be spoken to gain wisdom and truth and knowledge, Father. We need your power. And we pray that this service would be as if there is a stadium full of 100,000 people, Lord. It's important. It's your word. It's your church. And we pray that you would just work. And I pray that we would listen intently. I pray that I would speak as if this is the last time I'd ever speak. And we would listen as if it's the last time we'd ever listen to your word. And we pray we'd just be prepared for you and learn what you have for us tonight. Speak to us. Thank you for the hunger we have for the word and in this church. And I pray you'd fulfill that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Cornelius was a soldier, and he was certainly not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile. And Peter was in Joppa, a city that was about 36 miles away from where Cornelius was, which was Caesarea. And Cornelius is a good man. He was trying in his goodness to get to heaven. He's trying. He prayed. He gave things to the poor. he was a devout man and feared God with all his house. And so it's a pretty good testimony, verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God alway. So he wasn't just putting on a show. He was putting his money where his mouth is. He was being a person who prayed all the time. He had a real serious prayer life. He feared God. He had that respect and fear that he should have toward God. He was a good guy. And Cornelius was wanting to serve God. He was wanting to do the right thing. He's wanting to please the Lord. Well, Cornelius basically has a vision from God. And some angel talks to him in verse 3. I saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day. It's 3 in the afternoon. And an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. I think that little thing you just noticed there, at least God hears some prayers of the unsaved. Okay, we can see that pretty clear there, because he's going to get saved later. And and their prayers that come before God. Verse 5, I don't think God answers their prayers like he does our prayers, because we're his children, of course, but God's gracious, and he's good to all. And now, verse 5, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. The angel left. So an angel comes and says, hey, Simon, God's heard you, and your prayers have come before God, and he's going to answer your prayers now. And so what you need to do is there's somebody who's going to tell you what you need to do. And isn't it amazing? The angel standing right there, the angel could have given him the gospel. But God didn't choose angels to give the gospel. He chose humans. And so he had to get him. And as Acts 8 says, just a couple times before, how can I know what the Bible says except some man teach me? Christians are God's vessel for getting the gospel to the world. That's you. Amen. That's me. And that's what God uses. And we need to be witnesses, soul winners. And so he sends his servants and a soldier to go down and to get to Peter. And he says, I need you to go to talk to this guy. And I had an angel tell me this and go down there. And he sent them on their way. And he sent them down to Joppa. And so the angel told him what house he was in and exactly where he would be. And so Cornelius, a Gentile, a man who wasn't the Italian bands, is probably from Italy, an Italian guy from a long way away, long way from home, and so there he is, wondering, wanting to serve God, wanting to know about God, trying and putting forth religious efforts. I want to say first point tonight. I want to say the Lord helps those seeking to find Him. The Lord helps those seeking to find Him, and He makes no doubt about this. Let's turn to, I'm going to give you a lot of verses on this. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord helps those that are seeking to find Him. And it's no wonder, Deuteronomy chapter 4, because the Bible says God is seeking those. So if God is seeking them and they're seeking Him, they're going to find each other. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Lord over and over told illustrations of lost sheep and lost coins and how God is after the lost. And we preach on that. But understand, God is seeking sinners. So when a sinner is seeking Him, God's going to make sure that they find Him. That's what's happening here. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord says this fairly often, verse 29, and from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Pretty clear there, and let me go take it to Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. It said, and for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Let me just say right here, these people were in a mess. I mean, look at verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out and him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Listen, God didn't say you're going to find me in 10 seconds here. But they made a covenant to seek God. If when the prodigal was in the faraway land, he had to come to the Father. Okay? And seeking God is a wonderful term, because especially in a day like today where everyone wants something handed to them. It's an amazing thing. It's like people will go away from God and go far, far, far from the Lord and go way away from God. And they say, okay, fine, I'll turn to God. Okay, bless me now. And they took 4 years of wander from God, and they won't give it 2 weeks of hardship and not feeling close to God, and maybe the blessings don't come before they say, okay, tried that, I'm done, going back. Because you know what? You're in a mess, but you need to make a covenant to seek God. You're a long way from him. You're going to have to find him. You got to go back home. Might take a minute. It took you a long time to get where you got bad. Maybe you have to climb. Maybe when you ran down a bad hill, you might have to climb back up the hill. Okay, God's merciful in letting you come back to Him. I think if, let me say this, this is not Bible right here, this is just experience with people. I've seen some people, I can name them to you, we have them in our church, who, they wander away from God a lot. And God just seems, in their case, to be extremely merciful to them and kind of let them take up where they were. In other words, they come back to God and all of a sudden God uses them instantly again. And they get blessed again. And all of a sudden, I mean, they repent on Sunday. And on Monday, somebody calls them and says, hey, you want a job? I mean, that just, there's people like that. And they're like Samson. Samson, how many times he messed up? God just seemed, and I don't know why God does what he does or how he does it with certain people. Can I say, I think if those people many times leave a lot because of that, they figure they can just turn around and be fine again. And when it doesn't, the 4th or 18th or 22nd time they do that, they're usually too discouraged to come back. When you're returning to God, you're returning to God no matter what. It's not just, I'm going to, okay, fine. You ever have somebody who wants to just, you ever have somebody who really messes you up and really does bad and really does wrong and does a lot of damage, and they want a quick, non-emotional apology to make everything right? Okay, I'm sorry, fine. Can you forgive me now? Let's just go. Hold on. Do you know what you did? Now, Christian, understand, God is merciful and he'll forgive us. I just want to say this. They got to seek him, and they made a covenant to seek him. And they decided to do that. Let's look at Psalm 119. When you're returning to God, you're returning. You're really making something serious. But you're seeking God in this case. And you'll be found of him, it says. If you seek him with all your heart. That was the phrase. Psalm 119, verse 2. That blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they that seek him with the whole heart. Again, there's that phrase. Jeremiah in chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. See, God helps those who are seeking to find him. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, it says this, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You shall find me. I should have kept us there. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 back there. You're a blessed person when you seek the Lord. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord. God is looking for people. And if somebody is hungry for God, somebody wants to come to the Lord, even if they do not understand who God is, the Lord is going to have them find him because he's seeking them. I was that. I was looking for God, wanted to know about God, wanted to know about going to heaven since I can remember, since I was just a kid. I was always wondering if I was going to heaven. Whenever anybody talked about God, I listened very closely. I just didn't have anybody to witness to me. Michael prayed, was seeking God, didn't know who God was, and within 5 minutes, there's a track in his door. This message might go somewhere, and somebody who's seeking God and doesn't know Jesus will get this message. Why? That's the one message they'll click on the internet. Why? Because God's seeking them. Call me. And so God is seeking people. He wants them to be saved. More than you want to find, more than somebody is desperate to find a wife is seeking a wife, more than some child who's lost is seeking for their parents. Listen, God is seeking to save. And those that seek him will find him, and Cornelius was certainly that. The problem is, is when they do not respond to the light they have. Let me take you to Romans 1. See, the concept here of God seeking people and those that are seeking him will find him is a matter of light. You say, what about the person who's in the middle of the jungle and never can hear about God? Listen, Cornelius was not around where he would ever hear about God. He was not in a position. He was a Gentile, Gentile people, and a Roman soldier. The Roman soldiers and Christians didn't get together unless it was bad for the Christian. They were being hung up on a tree. Okay. He was not likely to be found. He wasn't during a Jewish city around Jews. How would anybody know to get to him? But he was seeking God. And see, here's what God does. The Bible, well, let me take you to Romans 1, and it says it a little bit. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. These people in darkness, but God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, their light went away. God reveals himself to everybody in creation. He says there's obviously a creator here. They don't always know who the creator is. But God gives them some light, and if they hold that light in darkness and corrupt themselves and do not respond to the light God gives them, they can go into error and darkness and never find God. But if God gives them some light and they take that light that God gives them and they respond to it and say yes and they obey it and do righteousness, if God in their conscience and other things in Romans 1, if God all of a sudden shows them murder is wrong and they stop, then they've responded to the light. If God says, I am God, bow down to me, and they bow down to God. If God shows them that you need to be kind, whatever light God gives somebody, God gives everybody the measure of faith. The Lord reveals himself some to everybody, and if they will take the light God gives them, God is obligated to give them more light, i.e. Cornelius. It's amazing. I read a fascinating story about, and I think it was New Guinea, about a guy who was wanted to be a missionary to the tribes there. He came to the city and he was getting ready to be trained, and a chief of a large tribe came, and anyway, in the process of time, he said, "You're about time you got here." And he says, we have a building built for you to teach us about God here. And he says, "What do you mean by that?" He says, we have been asking God, we have been asking him to send somebody to come and tell us about him. And he told us to build a building, and he was going to send a white man, and the white man was going to come and tell us about who he was. And he says the building was already ready, and he just had to go in there and preach to him. And there's been many stories that people find in part of a Bible, and they don't know how it got to the jungle there, and things like that. Why? They responded to the light, so they were... that God gave them, so God gave them more light. So they are without excuse. The person, see, many times you'll find people who are in total darkness. You'll also find them, you will very rarely find people in total darkness without any knowledge of God who are people who are doing right with what they know. You'll find the people who God is not sending the light to be very atrocious people. Cannibals sometimes. And it's just they're wicked in every way. They're wicked to each other, they're wicked or immoral. There's all kinds of incest and all kinds of it's just people who just choose to be that way. And I believe if you want, I think right now it's fascinating. There is a bunch of conversions going around in the Middle East right now. And there is a bunch of Muslims who are claiming, and their testimonies are all over the place, and it sounds pretty legit because they're coming out with the right gospel. They're saying that Jesus came and told and revealed that I'm the Son of God. This has been a lie you've been told, and you need to worship me, and they get saved. Why? Because these might have been people who were really seeking God, and God could not get a missionary to them because they get killed. And so Jesus says, I better get to him myself. And maybe Paul was that. God said, ain't nobody going to witness that guy. He's going to get killed. Let me just go ahead and go to him myself. I think God is obligated. He wants them saved, but he's got to, you've got to take and be faithful with what he's given you, and then he'll give you the gospel. And God is a just God and a fair God, and so he's good about that stuff. And the Lord helps those that are seeking to find him. But I want to say this. This is where I've been mistaken before, and we can all get mistaken. I wrote this out because I want to say it right. Don't always think that someone is not getting help from God. Don't mistake their regret of their situation for real repentance. Did they do right when they could? I'll find someone who is messed up and their life's messed up and they need some grace and some help and their life's a disaster and they need a miracle and they seem to really want to come to God. It's a jailhouse conversion and they really want to come to God and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't seem like God's blessing them and God's working in life and God's doing great things for them. And they say, but I was really trying to serve God. I've been fooled many times by those people because when they could, and then everything was handed to them, they got out of jail, and I said, all right, let's go to church. You've been saying you wanted to serve the Lord. Let's go to church. And all of a sudden, a bunch of excuses, the same excuses kind of things that they did before they got in jail, come back up. Why? I need God. Wait a minute. They really aren't responding to the light. Many people who act like, why is God doing this to me? It isn't God, and they really don't want to serve God. They just want God to bail them out so they can be free to go do what they did before. And they kind of act like they want to know the truth, and if they knew the truth, they would do it. But they never did do the truth when they knew it, what they had before. In other words, why would God keep revealing more and more truth to them and teaching them more and more? They haven't done what he's shown them. And I've learned this principle, and I do this as a pastor. I so often test somebody out. And before I spend too much counseling time and too much investing in time in them, I give them something to do. And I find out, do they just want to tell somebody about their problems and just want somebody to feel their pain, or do they want a solution? I'm way too solution-oriented to just keep on. I can listen to it. I can listen a few times and just let them bear their burdens. That's understandable. It's biblical. That's fine. But at a certain point, do they want to make changes? And if I give them something to do, and I'll give them something simple to do, just come to church this Sunday, or you know what, here's a Bible. I want you to read it every day. Or you know what, if you need some food, come on to church. I could drive it to them. But I want to see if they're going to take what they can do and do what they can do. Boy, take them to harder things. And do I want to invest the truth into somebody? Do I want to disciple somebody who won't do anything that they're taught? So God reveals light. And people like Cornelius, he said, you need to pray, and Cornelius prayed. You need to give to the poor, and Cornelius gave to the poor. You need to go and fear me, and he feared God. And God says, you know what? This guy wants it. I've given him more and more light, and he's responded more and more. We got to get the gospel to this guy. The Lord is seeking to do that. Respond to the light given. His works were not enough. You understand that? Cornelius was not saved. His works were not enough to save him, but he did what he had. He took what God gave him. He did what he knew to do. How about that? How you doing on that? My favorite question I've learned to ask people, I shouldn't tell you all my counseling secrets, but it saves me, I'll do a lot less counseling because I do that, and people already don't know. I like this question. If you had to guess what the problem is, what would you guess? I find a lot of times they get some pretty good guesses, and I have pretty good guesses with myself. Okay, and you know, I always say, well, let's start with what you think it might be before you get too complicated. I'm a simple guy, you know. That's probably what the problem is. And so you go and his works were not enough to save him, but his works were heard by God, and God saw his sincerity. And the Lord got on the gospel. Sometimes, I don't want you to take this wrong, sometimes I've seen people in a false religion who were saved in spite of their religion. I thought, where'd you get that from? That's not what your religion believes. That's a good God. And that's just what God does. I am not going to endorse a religion, but sure enough, they're saved. In spite of what church they go to. Why? Because God wants them to be saved, and because they're seeking God, and their family ties are too tight, or they're not going to, you know, whatever. God's good. And isn't he good about that stuff? Amen? Amen? All right, that's point number one. The Lord helps those that are seeking him. Aren't you glad I only have 2 points tonight? And point number one, the Lord helps those that seek to find him. And number two, the Lord can work on two or more parties at once. Let's go back to Acts 10. This is kind of a, maybe you've already thought this through, but this is kind of fascinating to me. And there's other things we could preach on in Cornelius, certainly. But the Lord works on two parties at once. So Cornelius gets his vision. Go get this guy. And the instructions are specific. You don't go. You go get your people and bring them here. Okay? So they go down. And meanwhile, Peter's getting ready to eat, and he falls into a trance at his meal. And verse 10, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. That's why he's a Baptist. And but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. It came a voice unto him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So here comes a sheet from heaven. It's got all these forbidden animals for a Jewish person to eat. And a voice from heaven says, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, no, I've never violated my kosher, my Jewish diet. And the voice comes again, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And he says, no, I've never let bad food come to my mouth. It's forbidden. And God says, we're not under the Old Testament anymore. He didn't say that right here, but he says, kill it, eat it. And in verse 15, and the voice spake in him a second time, said, what God hath cleansed, call thou not common. This is done three times. Then the sheet goes back up into heaven, picnic's over. And then he's sitting there and says, that was weird. He comes out of his trance. Are you Simon? Yeah, I'm Simon. Well, an angel of God told our master, Cornelius, that you were supposed to come. Look at the time. Verse 17, now Peter went down in himself with his vision, which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made their inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called for him. It's interesting, he didn't get the answer right then of what it meant. I could preach a whole message on this. I shouldn't spoil it. But I got plenty of messages, don't worry. He did not know what the message meant. The message was in the work of God. You know, when you're not laboring for God, you don't learn of God. He would have went for the rest of his life if he wouldn't have went when God sent the job to do to him. When you're open and available and you go, you do not know God's plan for your life until you begin to do God's plan for your life. Amen. Okay? And so he did not know, and he did not know, but then the people came. Verse 19, while Peter thought in the vision, the Spirit said, behold, these three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, nothing doubt him, for I have sent them. Now it's interesting. Cornelius has his vision. The men are sent down. They're sent there 36 miles. They come on down, and they get there. All of a sudden, Peter has this vision, and he sits there and says, what in the world does that mean? Right then, the men arrive. Then the Holy Spirit says, go with these guys. They're the meaning to your vision. The timing of God is precise. But wait a minute, God was working in one spot on Cornelius. He was working in another spot for Peter. Well, that vision was a sign that God cleanses things, and he was about to slingshot the gospel to the Gentiles. The whole trajectory of God's plan was about to be transformed. From the Jews, you had to become a Jewish proselyte. You had to be even close to getting to God. Everything was for the Jews. Everything was about the Jews. Everything is about them. Everything is about becoming one of them and doing their things and living in their city and being around a Levite and bringing the sacrifices and going to the temple. And everything is Jewish. And God is about to say, gospel's going to the Gentiles. Cornelius was the little rock that started the avalanche. And he said, Peter, I have cleansed these people. I have cleansed them. Don't call them common. You could have eaten that food. These people have come to me. It is not the law anymore. They are accepted by God. And it's about to happen. It's preparing Peter. The Gentiles are about to get that. Let's look at verse 20. Let's look at the same chapter, verse 24. And in the morrow, as they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and his near friends. Well, that's awesome. Cornelius is not just sitting there himself. He said, hey, everybody, guess what? I got a guy who's going to tell me the truth about God. I need all his near friends and kinsmen. They already got a church service waiting for him when Peter gets there. And they weren't Jews. They were the Gentiles. In chapter 11 and verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard of the Gentiles to receive the word of God. Of course, he gets saved and all these people with him. And it's a shocker. It's a shocker. It's hard for us to understand how much a shocker that is. But it just did that. Like somebody saying, Iran just became a Christian nation. Really? I mean, I hope somebody goes there as a first pastor. And it was a shocker. Verse 18, it says, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God get also to the Gentiles grant repentance unto life. So this was a timing thing where God had this obvious person who is obviously receiving the gospel. He wanted it. He received it. He got saved. He got baptized. He got the Holy Spirit. He got a whole shebang. And Peter said, these are Gentiles. And obviously the Holy Ghost fell on them. They're obviously saved. And he goes to the other apostles and says, guess what? Now the Christians, the Gentiles have received Christ. They're saved. They've gotten it just as much as we did. Why? God is preparing one person here and one person here. And by the way, that's what God wants to do with each one of us. The Lord wants you to be prepared, and he's also preparing someone who's going to meet you. It's called a divine appointment. You are the exact person to reach that person. You're going to have words that you're shocked you have. You are just going to go and meet them. See, the Lord is working on two people at once. I remember I had a guy call me from a church in Montana. And he said, listen, he said, I was in your area, and I had a lady, and I was witnessing to her, and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, you know, she got saved, da-da-da, and here's her phone number. Can you try to talk to her? And so I called her, and I talked to her. And I said, you know, she said, listen, I have rejected everything about God and all that stuff like that. And he says, I'm not rejected, but I've always found that nobody knows the answers of the Bible and all that stuff. And he says, I couldn't believe it when I talked to this guy. He said, I own a bar. And she said, I was asking him about God and what he thought about alcohol. And no Christian's ever able to say anything wrong with alcohol. And he gave me the answers right there out of the Bible, verse after verse after verse. And I called the guy back and said, okay, contact her. We're working on her. And he said, you know the craziest thing in the world? That verse in Amos about woe to them who give other people alcohol. He said, I was reading Amos that morning. He says, when do you ever read Amos and then be able to share it that day? And he said, you wouldn't believe it. He said, literally, I had that. And then I ran across this lady and started witnessing to her. And she asked me, where does the Bible say that? I said, oh, matter of fact, it's right here. I'm a concordance. And you know, isn't it amazing how I called and got some counsel from a very wise older pastor one time. And I said, you know, I got this and this and this. And I said, I didn't know what to do about this. And he said, that's why God's been teaching me that. I was just studying this morning. I didn't know why I was studying it. And he just started showing me a bunch of verses. Why? Because God has divine appointments for you, if you're available. I want to say this, though. The timing's also. Don't just pray for divine appointments. Also pray for the right timing. Because they came at the right time to the door. Cornelius, Peter, same time, came together. And so God does these things. So Cornelius' salvation teaches us a lot of things. And you know, you might find that you're just there at the right time. You might just find that you're the right person. I remember some amazing divine appointments I took advantage of. I remember some, I still wonder what would have happened. I remember one time I was witnessing, I was just cutting through a park, I was going from one place to another, and there was just two people just bawling their eyes out. And I just, the Spirit said to me, just go talk to them. And I didn't. I just said, hey, I got to get here. And I didn't. I always wonder, what would have happened? See, God's got a plan. God's got a divine appointment. God's got something for you, but the timing's right for you to be there. You'll say, I wish Pastor was here. I wish so-and-so was here. They could tell him. But you were the appointment. You say, oh, no, get somebody. If nobody else is there, you're the one. And you'll be shocked if you open your mouth, what great things will come out of your mouth. You'll shock yourself. And it's a great thing. So Cornelius gets saved. Let's just read a little bit about his salvation. We'll be finished here. Acts chapter 10. Peter goes in there. He called together, verse 25, and Peter was coming, and Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. He had no idea. Peter took up and said, stand, I'm also a man. By the way, Jesus would have done that if he wasn't God. A whole bunch of times people bowed down to him. Okay? But Bible people wouldn't allow that. And now he brings up, I'm confused here. Verse 28, he says, he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, I came unto you without gain, saying, I came here. And so verse 31, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are in remembrance before God. And so... He preached to him, verse 38, the gospel, how he anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, went about doing good and healing all the oppressed and the devil, and God was with him. And verse 44, while Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word, and they believed. Isn't that a great story? Great timing. God's got a great plan. Hope you, as God, for some reason, is pounding this into us and hitting us with this. Be available. Be ready for divine appointments. Ask God for divine appointments. And you know what? There's some people seeking light out there that you don't expect. You better be available. You might be the one God has. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for the word. We thank you for the chance to teach. Lord, it's a good reason why we had to be right all the time so that we can be used if you have something special for us. It's why we ought to be willing to go wherever you lead and do whatever you say to do. Lord, I pray tonight we would learn how good you are in seeking the lost. And you might be needing one of the people seeking you to find you. And we're the one that's going to intersect with them. And I pray you'd use us. I pray this church would be at the right place at the right time. I pray we'd be at the right place at the right time. And you'd use us in a mighty way. Thank you for giving light to light seekers. Thank you. Those that seek you will find you. And I pray all of us would do the right thing and be willing to be used by you. And I pray that those here would seek you. If they aren't all they ought to be, realize if they'll keep seeking you, they will find you and be close to you. And help us all to be determined to seek God and know you personally. In Jesus' name, amen.